March 2024.
So, people might not know, but we've been running an undercover operation for a year plus now, and it's coming to an end.
Is this, are we the only people that know?
Yeah.
And so we keep it that way.
We're gonna have to be kind of super cautious.
The main story is International Race Science Network. They bring together sort of intellectual far-right people. They have PhDs and they're academics, many of them.
But I don't think that we had anticipated the kind of things that we would find out.
You should be enormously proud about what you've managed to achieve, but we need to start focusing a lot of energy on working out which way the rabbit jumps when the story breaks, which ones are physical threats, also how you're going to prepare your family, how you're going to prepare your friends. There's lots of these complex emotions are going to happen in the next 6 months.
I believe it's justified, but there are some sort of conflicted feelings about how I've had to lie to them and I'll be betraying them, so I definitely don't feel like I'm on like a moral high horse. Like, I'm going to be turning around to some people and saying, my name's not Chris, I'm the person you hate the most.
Undercover. Exposing the far right. Hope Not Hate is a British anti-racist and anti-fascist organization. They research and identify the different groups that make up the far right. They work to expose and campaign against these many disparate groups. We were given exclusive access to follow their teams. London. 10 months earlier. In a hotel room, senior researcher for Hope Not Hate, Patrick Hermanson, is preparing covert cameras.
It's the camera unit. These are our button options. 1, 2, 3. That's going to be the fake button. He should be here, like, around now.
In this project, I'm the handler running an undercover source.
I'm here to make sure he's safe. It's about prepping him, and the majority is just that. Good prep is what makes someone safe.
Undercover source Harry Shookman arrives.
Hey.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Good to see
you. So, I'm going to show you the kit. I got 2 memory cards, 32 gigabytes.
Okay, so all you have to do is just turn it on, wait till it starts recording.
Yeah. 3 batteries, and the bigger one makes it a bit heavier. That should be 6 hours.
So that'll be enough for Saturday?
When you learn how to do it, you can do it quite quickly.
Yeah.
Free?
Yeah. I'm a journalist that's very interested in the far right, and before starting on this project, I was doing a few different undercover hits here and there. I've not used a hidden camera, and this weekend I'll be wearing one for the first time.
If you're not in a position to switch, don't do it. We get what we get.
I wouldn't be able to do this if I was just going openly as a journalist. These groups are very sensitive to infiltration and media.
Does it come in other colours?
Yeah, it's Uniqlo. It comes in like 500 colours. Right. And then we just screw that button on there.
Last week, someone was talking about wanting to gun down immigrants in the channel. There are moments when someone will say something about wanting to murder Jews or immigrants, or they think the Holocaust is a fiction, and you feel a justification for going about what you're doing.
Right, so that one looks like that.
Yeah.
And those will go there. That looks okay.
That's so cool, I want to stick this on.
Infiltration, going undercover, whatever you want to call it, is a long-running strategy. It's been around since after the war, really. So these groups, they are aware, absolutely, no question. It's fine that they know, as long as they don't know who.
The far right are dangerous. Their ideas encourage violence, even if they're not explicitly calling for it.
And that's something all of us want to stop.
What do we think?
Yeah, that's going to work.
Great.
I mean, I think it looks quite good, I must say. As a very, very white guy, you have access to things and can make use of that.
It would be better if it was pointing a bit more up.
You see, like, it's never going to be perfect. No. You're going to get a lot of sort of half faces of people. It's just how it is. And just be casual with the camera. Try to forget about it, actually. It's going to be fine.
Nick Lowles.
Infiltration is still really important. The more information we have, the more we know what we're dealing with. And ultimately, and that's our core mission, the more that we can stop hate.
We look at the communities who are susceptible to the far right and then the issues and policies that give rise to them. It's a mixture of keeping people safe and also understanding, you know, what gives the far right their power.
Our researchers might be following a paper trail online. They might be looking at some of these quite intense social networks. And then on another day, undercover in some of the biggest fascist groups in Europe.
The far right aren't like many other groups. Far right often present one image to the world, and what they're saying when they think no one's listening is different. It's often more extreme. And so for us, if we really want to understand what they're planning, who they are, who's the most dangerous people, we understand we have to be in the room when they think no one's listening.
Tallinn, Estonia. Patrick Hermanson is jogging along a road, casting a long shadow across the ground. Harry Shookman.
So the first really big undercover assignment was this conference in Tallinn, and we knew that a lot of British people would be going.
A fisheye lens viewed from a hidden camera on Harry's jacket as he stands in front of a mirror.
It's one of the biggest dates in the far-right calendar.
Harry leaves the hotel room. Patrick is jogging.
This conference connects alt-right people from across Europe and the US. And there was a good chance that a lot of the big players would go there. We're interested in the context. Who's coming? Who's funding this? Because that's really why these conferences happen. They're about networking.
2023 Spring Conference location. Patrick stops on a quiet street corner.
So I'm here to get a sort of lay of the land. Opposite their hotel, there's another hotel that overlooks the small alleyway where the entrance is.
Patrick enters a hotel room and walks over to the floor-to-ceiling window. It offers a direct view of a doorway on the opposite street.
This is all right. Yeah.
He takes a camera with a long telephoto lens out of his bag and positions himself on a chair by the window. He focuses on the street corner by the door.
It is very exciting going undercover.
Shaky footage from Harry's hidden camera.
It's also crazy. You're briefly becoming a different person.
There are a number of rules you have to follow when going undercover. You need to know your story, so you don't misspeak, so that you are consistent.
Chris, the person I'm pretending to be, is from rural Cambridgeshire.
Don't come across as too curious. You have to be patient. Let it come to you.
He is a strategy consultant specializing in support function optimization, which is something so tedious that it hopefully does not elicit a second or third question.
We try to challenge the idea that fascists and Nazis all wave swastika flags and throw Hitler salutes. They do that too, that happens, but it doesn't always look like that.
Inside the conference, Harry's looking at his reflection in a bathroom mirror. He crosses both fingers and then steps outside.
Morning.
Mark Webber, the former editor of National Vanguard. You know, the biggest racial difference in the United States is, of course, between whites and blacks. That's been true since the very beginning. And the question every American should ask himself is, can whites and blacks live in America, in the same society, on the basis of equality and mutual respect? Liberals will say, well, of course, or we should. Conservatives say, it's a good idea, but it's going to take time till we reach that. Yeah, the answer is no, it's not going to happen. Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln both grappled with this question, and each of them concluded that's not going to happen. And the only answer is to remove blacks from North America. Harry swaps out the SD card in his phone before meeting with Patrick at a cafe.
Here we are. How are things going?
Good.
Patrick puts the SD card in his laptop and starts going through the footage.
Ryan.
Yeah, I know exactly who this is. He's interesting.
But we'll deeply thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you've been away too long.
Okay. I've had an attack of chronic diarrhea or something like that.
That's a really bad one. He talked to a really important figure now that I didn't know was going to be here. But I know quite a lot about.
Harry is speaking with Ryan Williams, who's travelled from London to be at the conference.
Oh, same here, it's nice.
He's involved in a podcast called The Absolute State of Britain, which is one of the more extreme British podcasts. It's very Nazi, very anti-Semitic.
As a native of this country, you're denied your freedom of association due to laws drafted and passed primarily by Jews.
They're simultaneously the most oppressed group in the world, and they want to build a fucking Shoah memorial right next to the Houses of Parliament, just to have another memorial to this fake genocide.
As mad as it may sound, I just don't think women should have access to money, like, on their own. They should be dependent on a man, because otherwise the whole nation just goes to shit.
I was born and raised in London. I lived there for 30 years, but I can't really see a future there. It's very hard to find a good woman. There was a very strong fascist movement in Britain no one knows about.
No one knows about.
That's right, I read about that. 1932, the British Union of Fascists by Sir Oswald Mosley. Yeah, I'm dressed like him today.
Harry stayed calm. He made connections. People spoke to him and volunteered information.
Ryan, I spoke to the guy last night who's big on biotech eugenics. Harry, what, here? Yeah, I'm going to have a call with him, a guy called Matt, English guy. He's in touch with these Silicon Valley people that are part of the neonatal movement. And they're just into high IQ breeding, which I'm also into.
High IQ breeding,
yeah.
Which I'm also into.
Yeah.
London, United Kingdom.
The point of today is to celebrate the campaign against fascism. Extreme right-wing ideas has moved into the mainstream.
So I was born in Isleworth, Hounslow. My mother is Mauritian, so she came to Britain in 1961. I remember as a kid her being on the end of racist abuse. I remember walking down the street with her once when some bloke came up and started screaming at her. I mean, I don't look mixed heritage, but I go dark quite quickly in the sun. So when we used to go on holidays as a kid, I just sit in a tent. I wouldn't go out in the sun.
We want to tell you about a new party.
I pretend to my family I didn't like the sun, but it wasn't that at all. It was simply because if I got darker, then I got bullied.
The National Front has grown rapidly. We need to stop immigration and give Britain back to the British people.
You know, I look back on it with some kind of shame in a way that, you know, I hid from racists.
Millions see parts of this already overcrowded country being taken over by people with an entirely foreign way of life. We intend that it shall be stopped.
I remember the National Front Party political broadcast, and I remember being really horrified because in it they said that their policy was to send people home within 6 months. People who weren't born in Britain, they'd send them home within 6 months. And I was petrified that my mum was about to get picked up and sent home. That shaped the person I am. I only ever wanted to do one thing, and that was fight fascism.
Now inside the cluttered Hope Not Hate archive.
A lot of this archive was collected by anti-fascists that were active kind of obviously well before I was even born. And so we've got stuff like lots of the original Union Movement and British Union of Fascists membership cards. We've even got like the British Union of Fascists ledgers of members and who was who and all that sort of stuff. So like who's paid their dues and all that sort of thing. These were kind of the armbands that they would wear at their meetings. These are really racist stickers, and these were from a group called the British Movement, a neo-Nazi group in the post-war period. And this is the thing about this archive, right? There's all these horrifying artifacts themselves, but in between the shelves are the stories of anti-fascists who went out and, in some senses, risked their lives to make sure that what the far right were up to over the last 100 years, people found out about and we could try and stop. 1923. You see the emergence of a group in the UK called the British Fascisti. And that very first meeting was disrupted by anti-fascists. This is before the Holocaust. This is before the Nazis are in power in Germany. Italy's only just fallen to Mussolini. A group of people that realised instantly the danger that fascism posed and mobilised against it. And so it's the 100th anniversary of kind of the birth of the movement that I think that we feel that Hope Not Hate is still part of, you know?
Oswald Mosley. This great meeting is gathered here tonight to hear the policy and faith of fascism. Lift up your voices in this great meeting in the heart of England. Send to all the world a message. England lives and marches on.
Send to all the world a message. England lives and marches on.
This is from July 1937. It's Action, which was the newspaper of Oswald Mosley's British Union of Fascists. And it's about the Battle of Cable Street from 1936, where the anti-fascists stopped the Mosley's marching. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm unbelievably proud to be part of that movement.
Information is power. We would not have stopped the plot to kill Rosie Cooper, the MP, if it wasn't for a person being inside the room reporting information.
Jack Renshaw planned to kill a Labour MP and threatened to kill a police officer.
In World War II, we took the wrong side. We should have been fighting the communists.
The plan was exposed because there was a member inside the group who was working undercover for the anti-racism organisation Hope Not Hate.
I was to be murdered to send a message to the state, to send a message to this place. Our freedoms, our way of life, our democracy is under threat. Yes.
It's our role to look at the whole spectrum of what we mean by radical right, far right, fascist, but also to be really clear about the differences between those groups.
Right now, it's a very febrile moment. We've come off the back of a pandemic, and we've got a cost of living crisis here. People can't afford to heat their homes and feed their children. And when people are angry, and in many cases right to be angry, but they're angry and they're scared, the far right know that that's their moment.
In Tallinn, Estonia, Patrick sips a glass of water while looking at his phone.
What marks these events out is their focus on intellectualism. They often term these things race science, but that's a terrible term. It's racism masquerading as science in order to sound more legitimate.
Okay, Harry's on his way.
Hello, hey, how are you doing?
Okay.
Harry gives Patrick an SD card.
We met a guy called Matt, a Brit, who runs a Substack called Aphora. No, not Amphora. Aporia. It's a HBD for human biodiversity Substack.
The words branded about are terms like HBD, or human biodiversity, evolutionary psychology, race realism. All of these terms mean a similar thing, that there are inherent differences between the races, especially when it comes to intelligence. The result of that is the idea that some groups of people are genetically superior to others.
Is it this guy then?
Yeah, that's him, Matt.
No, I don't know him. It's quite a different crowd from the people you met
last
time.
Matt Archer, here we go.
So what's his background on this, Matt?
His backpack said something like Kensington.
So, Londoner.
Mm-hmm.
We met a lot of people at Tallinn, but by far the most fascinating was Matt.
He seemed to be very connected. He spoke to everyone and people had a lot of respect for him.
Cambridge educated, very well spoken, well put together. He says that he's got a Silicon Valley investor that has given him money to make this into a proper project. Matt said that it wasn't a household name, but was
one of the wealthiest people in the American tech scene.
There's so much to work on, there's so many threads to pick up here.
Yeah.
Especially the money stuff.
A rumour that we had heard at this weekend in Tallinn was that Aporia might have had some type of connection to this thing called the Pioneer Fund.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's this Pioneer Fund? Have you heard of it?
The Pioneer Fund is one of the oldest race science funding organizations in the world. But everyone thinks it's defunct. See what you can find about it, like ask.
Tell me about the Pioneer Fund. That sounds really cool. The Pioneer Fund is a large fund of money, which was made available, I think, in 1935-36. It's got large assets, similar to the Rhodes Scholarship. But rather than sending people to university, it's just funding dissidents.
Pioneer Fund had been set up by Americans who were interested in advancing research into eugenics.
It was inspired by Nazi Germany, and there were collaborations with the Nazi regime. The Pioneer Fund promoted and screened actual Nazi propaganda films in the US in the late 30s.
A black and white film called Hereditary Disease. A caption reads, "Insane people are housed in magnificent buildings in wonderful grounds."
What the Pioneer Fund argued at the time, certain groups of people are exploiting the state and are getting benefits and care that they don't deserve.
Another caption, "What would perish according to the laws of nature is protected and cared for."
Films focused on people with disabilities and argued for their removal from the race.
The Jews have a high percentage of intellectual defectives.
It was the first time that we realized there was something potentially very dark and frightening, because Matt was describing connections to money and power.
From hidden camera footage of Matt Archer to a patriotic alternative demo in Cannock, United Kingdom.
We see the far right across the class spectrum, the most well known being street level groups.
British Youth
We are here because our country is being invaded. And enough is enough.
In order to gain their following, they're very often using real concerns that people have and twisting them into their much more extreme narrative.
But they're coming here and posing a threat to our girls.
It's a very common feature of the demos that people will name victims or name incidents, but it's really difficult to guarantee whether those things ever happen.
We spent 2 hours in a taxi searching for a hotel to rape her in.
It goes from local residents being concerned about a local issue to far-right ideology and eventually far-right activism.
Let's replace these traitorous politicians before they replace us.
When you're from a white working class community, you can see how people can be lied to and exploited for political means. I deeply care about where I'm from, and I care about communities that I feel like are being exploited, because I think what those far-right groups are advocating for won't help people in those communities. They're not going to tackle the cost of living by scapegoating asylum seekers.
We will not be replaced!
It's night time, and Harry's reading articles on the Aporia magazine website. One title reads, "Created Unequal."
So on the Aporia website, there is a mention of human biodiversity, HBD, kind of faux scientific term. It's a shorthand to describe their worldview. A few different headlines here. An HBD manifesto. Can nations have IQs? Why are white people more honest? Why talk about race differences? The time for noble lies and cautious caveats has passed. Race differences in intelligence are a recalcitrant fact with pervasive ramifications. This is a classic framing, because race scientists put forward that they are just the pursuers of truth. Might not be what everyone wants to hear, but that's just the way it is. Matt wants to try and, as he described it, move the Overton window on race science.
The Overton window. It's a concept that says there's this window of ideas the public is willing to accept.
And the far right know that what they're advocating is unpalatable to the majority of people.
And the theory goes that if you want to change what people think of as acceptable, you shouldn't start here, you should start here, at the extreme. Because forcing people to consider an unthinkable idea, even if they reject it, makes all less radical ideas seem more acceptable by comparison. It shifts the window in that direction.
And so if they can get their ideas mentioned in the mainstream, then they can eventually get to the ultimate goal of a whites-only ethno-state.
People don't have to accept a ridiculous idea, they just have to get used to it.
Patrick puts on his hidden camera, which is disguised as a button on his coat.
Between 2016 and 17, I spent a year undercover investigating an intellectual fascist group in London. They were well-dressed. Many of them had PhDs. The year culminated in the Charlottesville rally in the US.
Charlottesville, USA, the 11th of August, 2017.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
Largest gathering of white supremacists in America in a decade.
Charlottesville turned very violent, and I was obviously with the far right.
They were asked to disperse. Some are taking on gas masks.
When the far right demo was over, this car drove down a side street that I was just turning up on and plowed through the counter protest. I was maybe 3, 4, 5 meters away. I saw shoes flying in the air and people on the ground, and it was quite traumatic.
The attack left dozens injured and the 32-year-old woman dead.
Through this year, you would sometimes question, like, how influential are they? What does it actually do if a bunch of guys sit in a conference hall and express racist ideas? Charlottesville clarified that question. When these ideas are taken to their extreme, this is where it goes.
Heather Heyer, 1985 to 2017, murdered in car attack.
I had this idea that race science kind of died out in the 90s. It seems like now there's this new generation who are quite happy pushing thoroughly debunked science with a view to achieving a far-right goal. So Richard Lynn, you know, one of the most famous race scientists there's ever been. The fact that they've been able to get so close to him is remarkable. He was the director of the Pioneer Fund. Lynn said his ambition was to rehabilitate eugenics and once argued that poor people should not be encouraged to breed.
Can you tell me what makes you the dissident psychologist?
I have documented quite large race differences in intelligence, ranging from the most intelligent people, who are the Ashkenazi Jews, followed by the Northeast Asians from China and Korea and Japan, then the Europeans, followed by the North Africans and South Asians, and then by the Native American Indians, and then by the sub-Saharan Africans.
Mainstream scientists have long said Lynn's work is deeply flawed and deliberately misleading. This interview suggested to us that there was a connection there. Richard Lynn, involved in the Pioneer Fund, Matt rumoured to be financially benefiting from it.
It's not concrete proof this is a small world, but it is a connection.
We're going to the High Court today. Tommy Robinson is appearing. We provided 247 pages of evidence.
Nick steps out of a taxi.
We work to monitor, gather evidence against, and stop all far-right leaders and influencers in the country.
coming, Tommy!
One of the most significant people we've watched over the years is Tommy Robinson, former leader of the English Defence League.
How did it go today?
It was just the same usual attempt at trying to embarrass me or humiliate me in front of these guys. I got convicted by a judge, not a jury. Give me a jury and let them decide whether I told the truth. That's it.
Tommy Robinson is an anti-Muslim far-right activist. He started out as a football hooligan and then he ran the English Defence League.
For the first few months, he hid his identity. He always wore balaclavas and no one quite knew who he was. But it was our researchers who uncovered his real identity, Stephen Yaxley Lennon.
Tommy Robinson, as he's now called, sets a touch paper alight that goes across the country in the years that follow. And it was violent. It was extreme. It was very, very, very anti-Muslim.
Leicester in 2010, we had a couple of teams out on the street photographing and videoing. And that was the first time I'd seen him face to face.
Tommy tells Nick, "I know where you live. This is how it is."
You know, it was the first time I saw his eyeballs, and he was an angry man.
Well, you've been making English girls, have you? Who's been making English girls?
The interesting thing that Tommy has done, he pivoted to becoming a far-right influencer and, as he calls it, a citizen journalist, and he was almost one of the first to do it. He creates video documentaries, but he also does these kind of confrontational videos where he approaches people and accuses them of stuff.
You're a paedophile, mate. You're a paedophile.
It's hard to kind of imagine how big he became online. He was bigger than the Labour Party on Facebook. He was reaching millions of people around the world.
And he's moved into this free speech space.
Tommy Robinson, thank you very much.
And increasingly, he has a following in the U.S.
Tommy Robinson, a hero of free speech and of nationalism and of Christianity and of just basic goodness.
Many American right-wing figures genuinely believe that Europe is under siege from Islam and the West is being invaded by people of an alien culture that are consciously being flooded into Europe to conquer them.
In Finland and Sweden, Muslims are allowed to rape children.
They see people like Tommy Robinson as these frontline soldiers.
I need your help. I want you to help.
And it's why they were so supportive of them.
Please donate with our monthly voluntary donation system.
And he got a huge amount of money out of it. Sadly, hate pays, right?
Pound, whether it be a fiver, 20 quid, 10 quid, numbering it all up, £100,000.
Inside a public bathroom, Harry's hidden camera shows his reflection in a mirror as he slings his backpack over his shoulder. He then leaves the bathroom and passes through a train station barrier in Dartford. It's July 2023.
Alongside the race science crowd, I was also meeting with the foot soldiers of the far right, groups like Britain First.
Morning, gents. Hiya.
Morning, Chris.
Hey, good to see you.
Chris,
how you been?
Good.
Good to see you, looking very smart. I like the pinstripes.
Britain First is very different from the race science people. They're more stereotypically a far-right group. They're focused on action, and they're on the streets. They try to change people's minds. They try to gain influence through elections. Leader of Britain First is Paul Golding. He has a long history in the far-right in the UK.
However, he presents as this professional politician.
We've had 4 months of relentless action. All of our activists out there pounding the streets, leafleting, canvassing.
I had been with Britain First for a few months now and was often filmed for their prolific social media content. Britain First and the race scientists are very different, but they both believe that Western civilization is under threat because of non-white immigration. Paul Golding has this more moderate image of a kind of just to the right of the Tories, presenting himself as this Churchill-type patriot. And yet he and other Britain First members post extreme messages on social media.
And we wanted to show the real Britain First, what they actually believe.
Barrenth, May 2023. The ringtone of a former Britain First official says, "Sieg Heil." Harry asks, "Was that his ringtone?" A man replies, I think so, yeah.
Is that his ringtone?
I think so, yeah.
What's going on with Britain First?
We are pitching ourselves for 10 years' time. In 10 years, society is going to be violent and a horrific place to live. I'm not interested in appealing to the masses right now. The moment that we're waiting for is fast approaching. I want this country to become a shithole. I want this country to descend into a fucking nightmare, because that's the only thing that's going to get people off their backsides.
We were in this village in Essex after going to the refugee centre, and a woman came up to us and said, you know, what the hell are you doing? Stop handing out these leaflets, you know, leave, go away.
A woman says, I think it's really racist. I think you're being really racist. And I think you need to be more open and nice people. Paul says, okay, thank you. Twat.
What? Paul Golding wanted to leaflet the next village along, so he drives off in a minibus and we follow in a separate car.
Gonna get lynch mobbed. Oh, you're racist. You're racist. What did she say, the woman? Racist, racist.
Racist.
They hate being called racist, but at the same time believe the immigrants are violent, fighting-age males.
Let the migrants come down here. I don't give a damn. Yeah, let's hope they fuck her up the arse. Honestly, fucking right. If she loves them so much, let her fucking have a bit of them. Probably why she wants them here. She probably wants 1,800 boyfriends. Yeah, when they're fucking pinning her down and raping her, let her say then about racists. A video called Hope Not Hate Exposed.
So Hope Not Hate are the dirty tricks brigade of the British establishment. This is Nick Knowles. Nick Knowles is the main face and the head of the organisation.
We track all far-right figures, so as well as Britain First, we've been observing Tommy Robinson since he first came on the scene.
Lenin Consultancy.
We've worked to get him taken off social media platforms. We've investigated his finances.
Oh, no, that's Paul Harris. That's one of his other fake names.
And we've published reports and stories about him. It's meant that we have become his number one enemy.
I started to receive takeaways that I hadn't ordered, sometimes 8 a night, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Clearly an attempt to harass me from someone who knew my address.
Nick, how many people have you paid? How many sources have you created to give false information?
I was confronted on the street outside my house.
No, your book is full of created sources that you've created with money, blackmail, drugs.
By that stage, he knew that I was writing a book about him, so he was trying to stop me or to try to damage my reputation so no one would take anything I wrote seriously.
You pay them.
Sure.
We've got evidence of it. You pay them, you blackmail them, you sexually assault them as an organisation.
But in 2023, Robinson made a huge mistake. He had already been found liable for defamation, lying about a young schoolboy who was a Syrian refugee. Robinson claimed the boy had been violent towards girls. He was forbidden by the court to repeat those lines. He did it anyway.
The news is how we find out what's happening in the world. It's how we form our opinion.
He made a film claiming the court was wrong and repeated the allegations against a schoolboy. The film aired online, but Robinson claimed to have had nothing to do with its release. He said it had been leaked.
So we need to prove that Robinson had been actively part of the release and had in fact added new material to the film.
Joe stares at a map where pins connected with rubber bands track links from Europe to Cuba.
Who knows where I am when you're watching this film now?
The thing about this, right, is the smugness of it. He's hiding. Problem is that because he's silly enough to put up this sort of content, it means that we were able to find it out. So you see the cast there, Cuba, or what we have to then look at is any hotels near a main road here, and he's on the seat. And then if you can see here, there's this spiraled staircase that my colleague then spends hundreds of hours until he can find a picture that showed us that staircase, and then we could ring up the hotel. I'm trying to contact a friend of mine. His name's Stephen Lennon.
Yeah, he was here. He was in April.
In April. So we think he made that clip in April 2023. The court will have to decide if he breached the injunction.
And you got the power bank, cable.
But we don't really know how many will turn up.
Stay in touch and figure out if there is a possibility of meeting up.
See you in a bit.
A Britain First social media video.
Some of the senior figures of Britain First were talking about going to Poland, going on this big march. As ever, everything would be filmed and posted on their Gold Tick Twitter account. And that included Paul Golding, the leader, and Nick Scanlon, their candidate for London Mayor.
The rally is Polish independence after the Second World War. After 10 years of a nationalist government, this demonstration had grown and grown and grown in size and become one of the largest far-right demonstrations in Europe. It attracts a lot of different people. There are families there with kids and others who are there to celebrate independence. But also extreme far-right groups. And there's a big chunk of explicitly fascist groups walking through it.
Look on the floor there, can you see this? They're all stood on the Gay Pride flag and the European Union flag.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, look at that. They're just wiping their feet on the Gay Pride flag.
As a gay man, it's complicated to see. But I think you go into this mood where you're there to observe. But it is scary. It's scary because I really believe it could happen here as well. I see sort of the rise of homophobia and a lot of transphobia right now as well. It makes me think about what can happen if we just let these things fester and let them normalize.
Oh my fucking God, it's Adolf Hitler. God, that's a Jewish person hanging from a lamppost.
Jews get the blame for everything, right? I mean, white supremacists see modern society as failing, as collapsing. They hate feminism, they hate immigration, they hate LGBT people, people of colour, and they're all believed to be undermining Western society.
A sign reads, European Union equals Jewish Union equals Fourth Reich.
But for the most extreme people, Jews are seen as the kind of all-powerful facilitators, the masterminds that are encouraging this destruction of white society.
Try and get the group of people in black there with green armbands.
Patrick takes photographs of the far-right demonstrators with his long-lens camera.
There's a guy in the middle that has a flag. Is that an American flag?
I think it's Patriot Front flag.
American. Patriot Front.
Joe now walks across the square amidst the demonstrators. He stops to smoke his vape pen while looking out across the packed crowd. A banner reads, "A hard idea for hard times." Chanting begins. Ultra-nationalists, now. Ultra-nationalists, now, now, now.
Look at his gloves, you can see that the knuckle dusters on them. If you look right at the front there, the blue flag with the cross in the middle, that's the British movement.
Joe pulls the collar up on his jacket to help hide his face.
It's a very intolerant demonstration. Of course, not every person at this march is a Nazi, but they are happy to march alongside them. Britain First wants to go there to represent the UK, but they also want to make friends and be seen in this big rally.
We've got patriots from all across Europe coming for this brilliant event.
Nick, what's your opinion of what you've seen so far?
Fantastic. Never seen anything like it in my life.
True nationalism and patriotism.
Absolutely. Can't even get out this in Britain.
Harry got a good rapport with Paul Golding and some of the other members, so he did really well there.
Harry accepts a cigarette from one of the Britain First members. Later, he and Joe step into their hotel room.
On
weird mixture of, like, families and then, like, yeah, horrible Nazis.
It was weird.
They were talking about how the media always says that it's like a Nazi thing rather than a nationalist patriot thing.
Unflattering photographs of Harry at the demonstration.
All great pictures.
You look a bit lost.
I look absolutely vacant. There's nothing between those ears.
I mean, this one was the creepiest one.
Because he's looking at you.
He's looking straight at me. Yeah.
He must not have clocked you, though. He kept sort of doing this sort of, you know what I mean? Like, sort of patting me on the chest, right where the camera bit was. He did that a couple of times, and I was just like, fuck, how could he not? How could he put this great hunk of plastic on my chest? But he touched it, I swear.
But it's something to keep in mind with him, though.
Like, but I think that's only when he's drunk. When he's sober, he's pretty, he keeps his hands to himself. Do you mind if I zip around?
Yeah.
Because I might be able to try and...
Yeah.
Okay, great. I want to find this bit.
If you're a man and you're willing to provide and protect, most women will fall head over heels. It's true. It's so true. And once you have that kind of experience of feeling uncomfortable in your own city because you're not among your own people.
Oh, fuck, I hate hearing myself saying this. It's absolutely awful.
You're being something else in order to do the job and you don't like that person.
Yeah, I have an idea about myself that's not... it's not horrid. And then listening to these tapes and playing them, it's like, oh, no, wait, I am actually being a total cunt.
It would be odd if you didn't dislike the person you're having to be.
Yeah, it's just stark hearing it.
Can you find yourself a cougar here?
He was eyeing up the girls in the car.
How about you? Are you seeing anyone at the moment? We was in All Bar One in Soho, and a black fella walked by, and I said, that's a bit of you, innit? That's how I worded it. And she said, oh, no, my dad would kill me. So now I can try and have a conversation with her. I'm not going to sit down with a girl and take her out on a date who slept with a Negro. I'm just not going to do it.
Do you hear that?
No.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, we went on a date once and she turned around. We was in Shoreditch.
And there's a lot of niggas in Shoreditch.
Yeah, belly of the beast. Yeah.
She said to me out of nowhere, she was like, fucking black people. She went, I can't stand black people. So, like,
you could say we share a hatred to cocoons.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That is very good. He's a mayoral candidate. We've got at least two, maybe three.
Yeah,
bombshell quotes on him.
I don't think this could have gone better this weekend.
It's now daytime, and Harry's walking down a street by himself. He takes a photo of a plaque on a wall.
This is the Jewish Cemetery of Warsaw. It's one of the biggest and oldest in Europe. Part of my family comes from Poland. I left Poland just before the First World War. Life for Jews in Poland at that time was very difficult. My great-grandfather was a tailor. He decided to leave with his young family to come to London. Even though we're not culturally or practicing Jews, his story looms large in my family. The family that didn't leave Poland before the Holocaust, we don't know what happened to them. They're believed to have been deported to Majdanek and gassed there.
He glances down at the ground with a mournful gaze.
So many of the people who I've met in the last year do have Jews in their sights. It's very sad and it's maddening that the same political forces that caused all these deaths in the 20th century are still alive in some form today. This stuff never goes away. The symbols and the flags might alter somewhat, the meaning behind them doesn't.
London, United Kingdom. Nick is walking away from a train station.
I've just come back from Manchester, where I met officers from the National Crime Agency. They informed me that they had recently arrested someone under the Malicious Communications Act, and while searching his devices, they found my name and my home address. And he was in contact with somebody, they don't know who, to target me. He's clearly a far-right sympathiser, a big Tommy Robinson supporter, visits Telegram and, you know, social media channels a lot, Britain First supporter, very anti kind of migrants and immigrants. They kind of reassured me they will prosecute him for plotting to send me hoax messages or threats or whatever. My address has never been public. Yet this bloke knew my address, my postcode, my house number. You know, a 19-year-old kid in Lancashire.
We found a website. Someone put up your phone number and my phone number, and they put it up with like a little blurb about we were the ones that had been going after Tommy. So,
okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that about you, mate.
Yeah, well, Andy, I've got more bad news for you, actually.
Right.
He appeared in court just in April this year after security service in the USA intercepted an order for a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson pistol. So we came across a court record. The US security services tipped off the British police. They intercepted the parcel, took out a real gun, put in a fake, and then arrested him with the fake.
So they didn't mention anything about a gun?
Really fucked up. I mean,
I appreciate all this, Joe, and let's catch up tomorrow morning and just compare notes and everything.
Well, stay safe. Let me know when you get home.
All right, mate. Take care.
All right, mate.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, good news and bad news. We found the person that's been sending you the takeaways. So the date that you got your first takeaway, we now have a screen cap of an order to your house, 2 chili chicken masalas, 1 mushroom pilau rice, with your address on it. It seems that the person that's been ordering the takeaways is now the same person that bought the gun and has been arrested. And it seems, again, from the circumstantial evidence that the individual has been arrested is the same person that posted your address and my address.
How have the police not found this?
I can't be certain, but it seems very clear that this guy got obsessed with Hope Not Hate, got obsessed with you, harassed you for months, published our addresses, and then bought a gun from America. To me, that's the timeline. It's very clear there's lots of links to Tommy. I'm not saying direct links with Tommy. The guy kind of pops up in Tommy Robinson's chats loads. We're mean about Tommy Robinson, he goes and finds out who we are. Different series is that they're not just sending us horrible messages on social media. He's gone and bought a gun, right?
How are you holding up? Because your address is up there as well, isn't it?
A little bit shaken by it.
Now, inside Joe's flat.
So I came home from work one day, and there's like a building site literally 10 metres away. And there was like the black boarding that they put around the building site, and someone had sprayed in massive letters, rapist, like right out this window, kind of just across the street directly. And obviously Tommy Robinson calls me a rapist. He calls Nick a paedophile, calls me a rapist. And that's the way he tries to whip up his supporters to hate us. And you don't know, you never know, right? It's the main road, so you think, well, maybe it's about someone else, right? You know, you hope it's about someone else, or maybe they would have put my name. And then they got painted over by the builders, and then a few days later it comes back. Again, they rewrote it, rapists. And, and you hope it's... Sorry. And you hope it's just, you know, general graffiti or something. But you don't know then, do you? You know, it's at night time and you think, well, someone knows where I live, and he calls me Which is the worst thing you can be called in the world, right? And then it's there, you know, you think, shit, maybe someone does know where I live, maybe... Sorry. It's just fucking horrible, you know? But when they're coming for us, they're not going for the people they normally target, you know, which is positive. If you go back to the 20s and 30s, cartoons were about Jewish men being a sexual threat to young women. In the post-war period, it was about, you know, Afro-Caribbean and West Indian and Indian men being sexual threats and pimps in West London. And then, you know, the Muslims are groomers. There's nothing new in that tactic. The far right present themselves as the defenders. They're defenders of women, they're defenders of children. Of course, I am, you know, broadly speaking, a white man. But I think the people of the far right probably can just tell there's something in there. But I don't think anyone's going to guess Irish, German, Indian. My grandfather, he came over on a boat in 1951. My mum's mum was German, and she came over as domestic help straight after the Second World War. And this German woman and this Indian man fall in love in West London. A lot of the family disowned her. What on earth they must have had to go through as that couple in that period. In some sense, it allows me to be here now, you know. It's like a beautiful kind of post-war love story, isn't it, really?
It's daytime, and Nick and Joe arrive outside a grey government legal building where the Attorney General's office is located.
Tommy's documentary is only about one young man, but it feeds into a much wider anti-migrant focus that the far right have had over the last few years.
We thought this was a really good chance to hold him to account.
We're outside the Attorney General's office, where we're delivering an open letter and a dossier of evidence which proves that Tommy Robinson knowingly broke the law.
The evidence is overwhelming. It's now just a case of making sure the Attorney General's office see it. And then we have to prove that it's in the public interest. It's over 80 pages.
Probably take a few months for the Attorney General to review it because they are overwhelmed.
It might not look like much, but this is actually a really big moment for us.
Hi there. We're booked to drop off a petition to Attorney General. We emailed about it. Thank you so much. We're done. Nice.
Thanks, everyone.
Then it's all done.
All done.
Nick and his team of supporters walk away together down the street. Harry now sits in front of his laptop.
Meanwhile, we continued our investigation into Aporia and who was financing it.
Hello.
Patrick and I had this idea to get close to Matt. I was going to pretend to be an investor. I approached him saying that I recently come into some family money. I want to put it into something that I believe in.
The funding situation for Aporia is, I would say, quite healthy.
From the moment Harry positioned himself as a donor, said he had money, things started moving quite quickly.
Money talks, fictional money talks. We were able to get... to meet Matt several times, his team, online, in person.
Perhaps if it would be good to start with Aporia, I'd be interested to know how you are set up for funding and if, you know, what would you basically be able to do with a bit more in your tank?
Even back in Tallinn, Matt Archer said it's a red-pilling operation, which means to radicalise.
Well, we want to be read by the elite, right? The aspiring elite, people that might accidentally end up becoming the elite because they're so crazy or entrepreneurial that they make it big. So it's like we're now a few rungs removed from the most important people who endorse these messages of, like, you know, important policy-relevant social science.
Aporia is trying to get important policymakers and entrepreneurs and billionaires accustomed to the idea that races have different discernible levels of intelligence.
So I see us playing that role as being like, you pick up this physical end of your magazine, you perhaps go to our site and you learn something that's relevant for governing as an elite. When you want to set up a new project, like someone, like we've got lots of people, obviously we've got like kind of an underground organization as well going on with research.
Right towards the end of the call, he mentions they also operate an underground research organization.
This seemed to us a really exciting tip that we wanted to look into.
So that begged the question, is this connected to the Pioneer Fund?
Brilliant. That sounds like a sort of much more rocket-powered version of the Pioneer Fund.
Today is dinner to try and get to know him a bit more, try and find out who his funders are, and hear a bit more about what he has planned for his organisation.
This camera has a very sensitive stop button, so if you brush against the stop button, you lose all the footage you've been working so hard to get. I found the caps of the top of... this is so shit. The caps of the tops of flosses, you know, dental floss, tend to fit kind of quite nicely. And it just makes you think, what would, like, the American equivalent have? Some kind of amazing piece of tech. So look at this. Isn't that amazing?
Harry arrives at the restaurant and Matt says, hello, hello. Hello, hello. Harry replies, good to see you, mate. How's it going? How's it hanging? Tell me about the underground research arm. What is it working on?
Matt has a partner in this organisation called Emil Kierkegaard, who is one of the most well-known race scientists operating today.
He's very controversial. He's expressed himself in very extreme terms on a number of topics, against homosexuality and, of course, race.
No mainstream academic papers will take stuff that he's written.
Is this just a way to make sure that Emil and various others like him have a place to publish? Well, it's giving the people a salary that they can depend on so they can make research.
Right. They used to make research, like, for example.
For example, one person choosing between helping their family on a farm or basically be one of the few people in the world to work on polygenic scores for race differences.
Or basically being one of the few people in the world to work on polygenic scores for race differences.
Yeah.
Matt continues, just give this person 50 grand a year, let them do this full time. Is that something that you were able to do, or is this something that you were looking forward to doing? No, this is what we've done. Does it have a name? There's no name. This is just the new Pioneer Fund. The Pioneer Fund was public, so they've appropriated the money, I believe, from there. The remaining money, but there is virtually nothing left, 150 grand or something. But that's defunct. I don't think that's putting any money behind anything now. They just appropriated the remaining money, right? When Richard Lynn died, it was left to Emil. And that now becomes part of our organisation. The point would be to take what they're doing and try and tie it a bit more, where possible, to policy.
To policy.
Yeah.
When Matt said that Emil had gotten the money from Lynn, that was probably the biggest step forward in this investigation since we started. That meant that some form of the Pioneer Fund was still running.
Looking stressed, Harry makes a phone call while in the back of a taxi.
Hey.
How was it?
It was fascinating. You said it's registered in a state that allows for some privacy. Here's something interesting. So he's hired like a director of operations, a guy called Eric, some AFD guy based in Germany.
Interesting. Why in Germany?
He loves Germany, a bit ominously. He thinks that they're the great white hope for Europe. And,
he's not the first to think that. Matt says Eric's a big player in the AFD. He was saying to me the key policy would be a remigrations policy. Imagine if Germany, and I said, it's your fucking duty to do this after. Imagine if they got this through. It wouldn't be nice, right? It's like you're a bouncer in a nightclub, right? It's your job. You didn't invite these people in. Pay people to go home. Whatever. Take two battleships to the coast of Morocco. You're going to do this. We're smarter than you. We're bigger than you. You're going to do this. It's in your interests to do it. These are the smartest people. Take them back. Imagine if this happened in the next 10, 15 years. What that would do for inaudible speech. European. Talk about moving the dial. I honestly think Germany could solve the entire Mediterranean issue just by themselves. Overnight, yeah.
There are lots of far-right activists coming back onto Twitter.
I'm back on Twitter. I'm back on X, yeah?
But Tommy comes back and he comes back with a bang.
With grooming, we forced them to bring it, we brought it to the forefront. We shifted the open window. We made it acceptable for politicians to talk about.
Within 2 weeks of being back online, he was personally telling people to be out on the streets.
And the only time our government and our police will decide to do something is when they see a resistance, an uncontrollable mass of men.
Tommy, let us through, let us through. A surge of far-right demonstrators push back a line of police officers.
This is fucking England!
And the Attorney General said that they were actually going to initiate criminal proceedings against Tommy Robinson. You know, you think you've done a great job, but there's always a chance that it might not happen.
So 2 days before he was meant to appear in court again, Robinson organised a massive demo in London. In front of as many as 40,000 people, he screened the film again. This is the exact same documentary in which he makes the libelous claims against a young man which he was explicitly told not to do.
Now you can take me to court!
By this point, the documentary has 15 million views online.
If you sent me to jail, it says more about the court than it does about me.
Immediately after the screening, Tommy Robinson left the UK. He did not attend his court date. Rioters throwing missiles at police officers and climbing on top of public order vans. Between the 30th of July and the 10th of August, riots spread across the country. Many were organised by far-right protesters. They were triggered by the horrific murder of three young girls in Southport.
Oh God, it's so horrible.
A wave of unrest started after an attack at a Taylor
Swift dance class in Southport. Three young girls were killed.
The suspect behind yesterday's attack isn't known to be Muslim, but a connection was drawn nonetheless.
This violence fueled by racist misinformation.
Oh, Jesus. There's real people inside these buildings. A lot of false information was spread about whether the attacker was an asylum seeker or him having recently arrived on a small boat.
You've allowed people into our towns and cities that are raping their way through our towns. They're murdering our kids, left, right and centre. Women are being raped daily across every city in our country from the fuckers that you've brought in.
A tweet from Elon Musk reading, civil war is inevitable.
It's not just a lie, it's whether people believe the lie that matters. People are exposed to these tropes and stereotypes everywhere, whether that's through social media algorithms, through the media, or through mainstream political discussion. It kind of nestles its way into your brain, and you might be more primed to believe that it's true. Let me get the screenshots. What was shared with me is all of these screenshots. Spread as far as wide as you can, no more immigration. And then random immigration clinics, and they just want to attack whoever they've heard of in their local area. There's a group that are posting all of it. I think the research team are getting close to finding out who actually that is. I definitely just want to ring all of these people up, basically just get contact details for them so that we can follow up.
Is there a time
afterwards?
Frame?
Wednesday night, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So obviously as well, we should be telling people to close their offices, really. This goes beyond concern. This goes beyond showing up to a random demonstration. This is you actually wanting to hurt people.
Yeah.
I think our immediate focus this week is literally protect lives. That is so scary. we obviously have to look at this stuff. We have to know what they're up to. But in and amongst this, like when I'm scrolling down my feed, it's
everywhere.
It's like it's black, brown, and Muslim people getting beaten up,
yeah,
kicked in the head. I guess it's why we do it.
Doesn't make it easy though. It's just everywhere.
Yeah.
Hello.
Afternoon, Georgie.
I just wanted Joe really to start with a kind of summary of what's happened.
I'm pretty certain this is the worst wave of far-right violence we've probably seen in the post-war period. It's pretty unprecedented what we're seeing here, so obviously we're struggling just to keep on top of it. We did put out a request for help and information on social media, so people will be sending in pictures, videos, etc. Please do pass them on. Our objective is going to be here to... We want everyone. We want everyone who threw a brick at a mosque. We want everyone who tried to burn asylum centres. We want every one of them. I want to know who they are. We're going to make them face justice.
A threat was made against Nick. It says, if anyone wants to go down in a blaze of glory, take this man with you. And then all caps, death to Nick Lolls. Any man who takes his life will be a hero to the cause.
This country is at a crossroads. I mean, and this is not an exaggeration to say that. And I think we've really got to be clear with people. That's the future for Britain. They want civil war. And if we don't want civil war, then we need to do something about it.
Harry starts a video call with Matt.
What really clarified everything...
Hello, hello.
...was this Zoom call with Matt and Emil Kierkegaard.
Let's see, there we go.
Emil was particularly excited to share some of the projects that his race science team were putting together or had recently published.
Well, of course, there's a lot of focus on genomics, but not all of it is genomics. Something that's obvious for anyone who reads Twitter is that wokeness and mental illness are related.
Things that claim to show a link between wokeness and mental illness, honesty and races, white people being more honest than black people, and even stuff like how IQ is linked to penis size.
We did a study of race differences in sexuality, and it's, of course, something very many people are interested in, but it's very difficult to study.
He is obsessed with the sexual drive of different groups of people. Having a high sexual drive is connected to sort of being uncivilized, brutish, and having a controlled sexual drive, and one that is normative, is considered intelligent and being connected to being mentally healthy.
But it turns out there is a group of people in the world who are experts in race differences in sexuality, and these people are hookers who have clients in all sorts of people. So we did a large survey of hookers online and asked them all about all sorts of weird race differences. Like, of course, we include the standard stuff, like who has bigger penis, but also like who's more into buttocks versus boobs, and who comes easily. Yeah, basically life.
They believe this stuff. They really care about it. They want you to believe it too. They get laughed at all the time by people saying, like, you're crazy, you're an idiot. So to have someone listen to them and say, oh, that sounds really good, that's really cool, you know, do more of that, that's what they want to hear.
So Emil's just going to go over.
The call is about Aporia.
It'll be a very brief thing because, you know, we've had dinner, we've spoken about this.
But it's just one leg of this new operation.
So he'll go over the main structure.
That's okay. We can do it after. That's all right.
It was enormously exciting to see these slideshows come at us with the inner workings of this very secretive company.
Just on a note from me, I'm ready and excited, and we can talk about the specific number.
They more or less go through the organizational structure where HDF is at the top, the Human Diversity Foundation.
So we only have one company that has essentially two divisions, research and media.
The Human Diversity Foundation, HDF, which is the umbrella, and it has two arms. Matt does Aporia, the marketing wing.
The outwards facing popular outlet.
And then the other is a research operation
run by Emil.
On the research side, that's essentially what I'm running. So I'm the head of research.
A network that funds researchers and direct their research into race science-y topics.
In terms of the funding, in July, we raised another 900K from the same guy, making the total from the early starts of getting funding from that guy, the total would be 1.4 million US.
We'd heard this figure of $1.3 million and that there had been multiple funding rounds with this one investor. Does your funder, are they ideologically aligned? I just want to know that that he isn't going to get scared if there's some adverse publicity in the future.
I would say he's secure in terms of ideology.
Okay.
I don't know what specifically politics is into, but he hates woke stuff.
Okay.
So I would guess he's a kind of a fairly typical, somewhere between, you know, white nationalist and libertarian.
Okay.
This guy is so well off that it doesn't really matter what they say to him.
Right? Okay.
It doesn't matter. He's in the, I don't know how many digits of millions.
We'd taken a big gamble in Chris pretending to be a wealthy investor, but we'd done it with the hope that something exactly like this would happen, that there would be PDFs and slide decks, secret details coming at us. And now here we had evidence about what Aporia and the wider HDF organization was up to.
Athens, Greece. It's nighttime, and Patrick's walking down a street alone. Now inside a hotel, Patrick knocks on a door.
Coming in.
How is it going?
How's it going?
Good.
Just got here. Just getting ready.
What, how are you feeling?
Yeah, excited. It's kind of, it's weird just being here for two words. Just a name.
Exactly, but that's all we need.
Yeah.
Who's the funder? $1.3 million into this project. You pushed before and it's been on their lips, so, like, it's just about pushing, saying, I need to know who else is involved in this project in order to put my money in.
On previous occasions, we've been worried about going too hard for fear of being seen as a rat. But in Athens, about to put in a load of fictional money, I feel like we can be a bit more forceful.
Naturally, pay for everything, like everywhere, just pay. And if you need more money, message me.
They're asking rough ETA. We're downstairs in the cafe.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Spare memory card. Power bank. Cable.
Shit.
Okay, great. And the camera. The camera works.
Okay.
All right.
Brilliant. See you later.
Good luck.
Thanks.
And hide your other phone.
Yeah.
The stakes for going to Athens felt incredibly high because never had I gone to a meeting undercover with a goal to extract something really clear.
In order to show that Harry really had all the money that he said he had, hatched a plan to just show up as if it was no big thing, stay in a nice hotel, take them out for a real expensive dinner.
Fancy seeing you here. How about this? We've got to stop meeting like this. Hey, good to see you guys. Thank you for holding on. Thank you for flying out to Athens. It's helpful. I was in Milan on the weekend. It wasn't so far. You flew from Milan? Yeah, this morning.
Yeah, this morning.
Sort of radiate wealth in a way that would probably convince them that this guy is the real deal and make the other funder willing to share his name.
Table for Chris at 8 o'clock.
Dinner on me, guys. He flies to Athens and he buys dinner. It's the least I can do.
It's the least I can do.
The response we always get in a project like this is that they will try to downplay it. They will say, we don't actually know him that well. So pictures of them together helps shutting those sorts of responses down.
Okay, Theo?
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Talk me through the big picture, which I don't think we've yet spoken about. Eric answers, my vision is actually to one day run in Germany in a Trump-like fashion. It hasn't been done for 100 years, to run a populist movement centered around a person. Can you tell Chris about the activists? I can show you a video. We don't run this. These are my friends.
These are my friends.
Eric pulls out his phone, opens Telegram, and shows me this video of an extreme right youth group. My camera didn't catch it, but I found their channel later.
Men training to fight. They run the camp once a year. It's very easy to replicate as almost a service that we offer to young guys. They put out videos on YouTube because they want to attract new people. You'll attract new people, but also the law and Antifa and the Secret Service. We don't want that. We don't want the public to know. This is specifically for a subset of elite potential people. That is what the SS was doing. Do you know the history of the SS? The SS, they're elites. They didn't have IQ tests. They had physiognomy requirements. You had to be like 180 and blue eyes or whatever. They had certain outward characteristics, but the principle is the same.
Certain outward characteristics, but the principle is the same.
They are right in front of the window, right in the middle of things. I can get a picture of them, I think.
Patrick pulls his camera out of his backpack. Harry says, I have to say that the biggest concern I have is the other funder. It's important for me to discreetly know who he is, basically to rest assured that, like, this guy is legit. You know, he's real, he exists, because I've only heard about him in the vaguest terms. And it would put me at ease to just know, okay, we're dealing with a big boy over here. Matt says, if you want, I think we can get you a meeting with him. Harry replies, let's talk about that further down the line. I mean, let's talk about it now, but I guess just to know, you know, who are we dealing with? Standing behind an electrical box across the street, Patrick takes pictures of Matt, Eric and Harry having dinner together.
Got an okay one, but not great. Like, there are like blinds hanging down on the side or like curtains. But I'm gonna just walk past the window and take some pictures with my phone.
Eric explains, the problem is really why we do not want to give his name away is that he doesn't know about it. It's not that we want to keep him secret, but we don't want to bring up his name without him knowing about it first. Eric continues, and you might have tricked me into it if you were to say, oh, by the way, who's that person? But the fact that you ask, ah, can you tell me? It's important you know, I'm sure you can see that. I completely see. Without a name, it's just we're talking about someone imaginary here. Matt says, I would do the same thing in your position. You just have to deal with the uncertainty for now. You holding off until we are at the green light to give you the name of the investor.
Thank you.
Harry says, enormous pleasure. Well done. Very impressive pitch. Yeah, you guys are good at this. Well, it's just the start. Yeah, my hotel's actually just 5 minutes away. So I'll see you guys around. Take care. Harry steps into the lift inside the hotel. Sometime later, Patrick knocks on Harry's hotel room door.
Hey, come on in. I've got stories to tell you. You'll never guess.
Tell me everything.
You'll never guess who it is. They only yielded the name after quite a lot of back and forth. I said it was really important that I know who it was for business reasons. And they said, well, we can't tell you. And I said, that's not good enough. And then Eric said, Emil's cool with saying he told me on the first time I met him. So what if we just called up Emil and asked if it was okay with him?
And I was like, yeah, this, trying to be like as cool about it as possible.
Yeah.
Can you ask Emil? Maybe he has given Emil green light to talk about this kind of stuff. If Emil's happy to.
I had this this like incredibly dry plate of fish in front of me, and I was like, I've just got to eat it and pretend like this is all just like normal and not like hanging on every word. It's like I had like the mouth of a skeleton, just like so dry. Anyway, no, this was all going on, and then and they said, yeah, it's this guy Andrew Conru, he's the adult friend finder founder.
I mean, it's still a good job. It's a good job.
So we got it. We had been working towards it for so long to actually get that name.
That's so unexpected.
We got it. Andrew Conru is a man who made his millions in the early days of the internet. We'd never heard of him before. We'd never considered him as a potential investor. But now he's funding an organization that spreads extreme ideology online. To be able to uncover something that's that secretive, that has that much money behind it.
Wow.
It felt like the kind of crowning achievement of this whole year. It's a huge relief. It's terrifying to think that there are people out there who have so much money that they're basically unaccountable.
We needed that name.
Matt says, Andrew Conru. He made his money through a service called Adult Friend Finder.
A service called Adult Friend Finder.
Doesn't get any clearer than that. That is perfect.
In October 2024, Hope Not Hate's investigation was released to the press. Give me that
bulletproof vest. We want to bring people that fund these sorts of things out of the shadows.
I think people have the right to know that there's so much money going into this project and what its ultimate goals are.
Once the information is out there, it's out of our control exactly what happens. I don't know how the world will react, but I hope we have shown people how these organizations can work. I saw what I
saw. My time as an undercover journalist is definitely over. It'll be nice to go back just to being myself again.
Tommy Robinson's new court date is set for October 28th, 2024. He could face prison. Britain First continues to operate as a political party. Nick Scanlon came 12th in the London mayoral election. He is currently the Southeast regional organiser for the party. The young Tommy Robinson supporter, Marco Gill, pled guilty to possession of a firearm, harassment and malicious communications. In April 2024, he was sentenced to 4 years in custody. In August 2024, Matt Archer announced he was stepping down as editor of Aporia. Hope Not Hate investigated and gathered evidence against some of the key instigators of the 2024 riots. Trials have been set for 2025. Responses to allegations in this film. A spokesperson for Mr. Conru told us, Mr. Conru unequivocally rejects racism, discrimination and dehumanization. Since this was brought to his attention, he has cut ties with the Human Diversity Foundation and that he has never met Eric Ahrens, whose connection was hidden from him. Eric Ahrens told us that the allegations were factually incorrect. He was never employed by HDF. Regarding the Young Tat training camp videos he showed the undercover investigator, he referenced groups that engage in peaceful and legal activities. Regarding running in Germany in a populist movement centered around one person, he said, Donald Trump is an idol of mine. Whether or not I get to run in Germany one day is a matter of destiny. Mr. Archer said that our allegations contains numerous misinterpretations of both my actions and intentions. The Hope Not Hate investigator's actions amounted to a breach of journalistic ethics, and he is misleading the public. Mr. Frost went on, I am not politically aligned with any far-right ideology, nor do I hold views that could reasonably be characterized as such. I no longer have any affiliation with HDF. We reached out to others for their responses to the allegations, but received no statements from them.
support information for the issues raised can be found online at channel4.com/support.